About 20 years ago, when I was only 6 years ordained a priest, I received a phone call from the rector of the seminary in Chicago. He talked about the seminarians and life there. And then he kind of caught me off guard, asking if I would pray about becoming a member of the formation faculty there. Whoa, this is something that I was not ready for. And immediately into my mind came reasons why I was not going to become a member of the faculty, mentoring them and teaching them how to become priest. Fear of my inexperience, for one. Love and closeness to my family and my current ministry, for another. And of course, dislike for the long, cold winters up in Chicagoland. But how could I say no to praying? So I said yes, I would pray. And I chose to go on a retreat so that I could be able to listen more clearly to God's voice. So it was at that retreat, at a mass, and the first reading was about Abram becoming obedient to God's word, going to a new land that God would show him. The words of those scriptures struck my heart, and I felt like God was speaking directly to me. And to affirm that voice, the priest preached about going on journeys and making life changes. I felt like the voice of Jesus himself was speaking to me as he was speaking to Peter and Andrew, James and John, calling them from the river, from the Sea of Galilee, to follow him. So instead of doing my own will, which was a big no to be on the faculty of the seminary, I ended up changing what I had thought and said yes to what I believed is God's will, and so I spent 3 years in Chicago. Now, in hindsight, I have a glimpse into what God's plan was for me, and it has to do with Scripture being alive. It is not something merely in a book that we read and study, but it is the living Word of God that transforms us and acts through us. I hope that in some way you have had an experience of God comforting you, inspiring you, challenging you, exciting you, and maybe even puzzling you as you read God's word or as you listen to God's word, because it is truly alive. Today, Pope Francis declared the third Sunday in ordinary time shall now be the Sunday of the Word of God, and it always takes place in January when we are encouraged to strengthen our bonds with our Jewish brothers and sisters, and to pray for Christian unity. Pope Francis says that this is more than a temporal coincidence, because the celebration of the Sunday of the Word of God has ecumenical value, since the scriptures point out, for those who listen, the path of authentic and firm unity. While many Catholics focus on the Mass as receiving the Holy Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ, this first part of the Mass is always the liturgy of the Word. And the Constitution on the Sacred Liturgy states that Christ is present in his Word, just as he is present in the Eucharist, since it is he himself who speaks when the Holy Scriptures are read in the Church. He is present also when the church prays and sings, and I am sure that our choir is happy to hear that. For he promised, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So, for whatever reason some people cannot take part of the Eucharist, they received the fullness of Christ in his holy word and gathered in communion of prayer and song with all of us, the people of God. Biblical faith is based on the living word, not just a book. The role of the Holy Spirit in the scriptures is essential for understanding that. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, there would always be a risk of remaining limited to the written text alone. This would open the way to a fundamentalist reading, which needs to be avoided, lest we betray the inspired, dynamic, and spiritual nature of the sacred text. The Bible, Pope Francis says, belongs to those called to hear its message and to recognize themselves in the very words of the Bible, like I did during my discernment to move. The Bible is the book of the Lord's people, who, when they listen to it, move from division towards unity. It is the word of God that unites believers and makes them one people. Our second reading today contains that same theme of unity from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. We know that we live in a world, in a country, even in a church that is divided. But Christians are always called to work for unity, not only among ourselves, but in the world. If we replace Paul's names with more contemporary ones, we may be able to recognize ourselves in the Word of God. For example, Paul said, I have heard about you, my brothers and sisters, that there are rivalries among you. I mean that each of you is saying, I belong to Pope John Paul II, or I belong to Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, or I belong to Pope Francis. Is Christ divided? Were the popes crucified for you? That's a bizarre message, I admit, but it is something that I have encountered, this division among Catholics because of their allegiance or preference for one pope or another. Just as Paul exhorted the people of the city of Corinth to come together in unity, this message is no less important for us today, as Roman Catholics, as people who call ourselves Christians, as Americans, and as members of this community. There is much that we differ about, and we can focus on them because you know these hot-button issues, but we need to recall that unity is our mission. The writer of that letter, whose feast day of his conversion was yesterday, is a great example of repenting, of changing his prideful, righteous ways to following a path of humble servitude. The Holy Spirit makes all things new, and it is the Holy Spirit that empowered a man named Saul to convert to the great vision and mission of Jesus Christ. Remember the story that Saul was a staunch religious leader called a Pharisee who sought to eradicate those who were not faithful Jews. Saul concurred with the stoning to death of Stephen, our first Christian martyr. When Jesus appeared to Saul later and asked, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Christ was referring to his presence in those like Stephen who were his followers. Recognizing his errors, Saul became a new person with a new name, Paul. And then he took on the vision and mission of Christ. So instead of being a persecutor, Paul willingly allowed himself to suffer out of love for Christ and his good news. All are worthy of universal respect and dignity. The beauty and the challenge of a diverse community like Corinth is that each one of us are in different stages of spiritual development. Some of us here present are like Saul, staunchly religious Catholics who want to eradicate those who are not pure. Honestly, I was once there myself. And I accept that this stage does belong and is included in the vast universal embrace of Catholicism, while the path of conversion transcends and opens up to universal love of all, as Paul shows us in his own life journey. Pope Francis says, to listen to sacred scripture and then to practice mercy. This is the great challenge before all of us in life. God's word has the power to open our eyes and enable us to renounce a stifling and barren individualism and instead to embark on a new path of sharing and solidarity. I'd like to end with this quote from Father Henry Nouwen. The purpose of spiritual reading is not to master knowledge or information, in other words, to keep it all in our head, but to let God's Spirit master us. Strange as it may sound, spiritual reading means to let ourselves be read by God. Spiritual reading is reading with an inner attentiveness to the movement of God's Spirit in our outer and inner lives. And with that attentiveness, we will allow God to read us and to explain to us what we are really about, who we truly are.